I now give the floor to His Excellency José Badia, Minister for External Relations of Monaco.
Monsieur le Président.
Mr. President, the lofty aspirations of the MDGs have guided our first steps in the second millennium and have allowed us, in part, to highlight those priorities we hold dear. Heartened with this shared extraordinary experience, given what it gave us specifically, and mindful of the new challenges we've seen from it in the last 15 years, we now have clear information to build the future we want. We now know that peace and development are inextricable. The future we aspire to has three dimensions on the basis of the three pillars of sustainable development, which command our equal attention. The exercise which we began to define the post-2015 agenda, in its very nature, but also because of what it involves, requires the efforts which have already commenced on the part of the international community as a whole. It requires, in fact, the contribution of all states, but also of all parts of society, including the private sector, universities, philanthropic environments, and obviously non-governmental organizations. It also requires, ethically, but also for its viability, that it be inclusive and participatory, and that it be established upon good governance. And so, Mr. President, these are the bases that should define the post-2015, and in spite of the flagrant paradoxes and too numerous to mention obstacles that we unfortunately see. At a time when the world has become highly interdependent with effective technologies for communication and with much wealth, inequalities are still deepening, and too many people are still marginalized and they live in unacceptable conditions. Recognized as the largest challenge of our time, the inevitable climate change, holding the world's fate in the balance, casts a pall on future prospects just as it already threatens our present. Conflicts continue as others are born, and terrorist acts cause a range of problems which upset traditional defense strategies. Mr. President, this last year, existing conflicts and those which have come about have grown almost unacceptably too numerous. Our government can only say how committed we are to the values of the goals and principles of the UN Charter and join in the efforts of those who are looking for a peaceful and political settlement to the crisis in Ukraine. Using chemical weapons in Syria and the attack on civilian targets in Syria, but also in Iraq, Gaza, South Sudan, Mali, CAR, and Nigeria, have spread the horror and the most barbarous practices. It's intolerable. Therefore, our government has condemned abject acts of violence by co-sponsoring the Security Council resolution adopted last week, which establishes a new legislative and political framework to coordinate international efforts to combat against the phenomenon of foreign terrorist fighters. The Principality feels the grief of the French, British, and American people after the abominable executions of their nationals who were hostages. Prince Albert II asked for the flags of administrative services and public places be put at half-mast. Those who commit these reprehensible crimes on behalf of a religion that they're blaspheming are destroying the foundation of the societies, our societies, by violating the rule of law and the respective norms we've developed together. They're using the media and social networking, pulling it all together as they can to spread hate and chaos. So we are in danger of wondering about their motivations and the reasons that make their appeal so convincing. The response, obviously, is rooted in exclusion and in marginalization of those who have not yet, up to this day, been able to benefit from what we have called progress. It often involves young people without prospects for the future. So we need to come up with policies of social integration that are inclusive, promoting education and youth employment. Young people have never been so many in number throughout the world, and in particular in developing countries. They must be an integral part of the decision-making process to allow them to realize their human potential. And so here we welcome the SG's initiative of last November, Rights Up Front, whose first objective is to make sure that human rights violations do not become mass crimes and to allow the organization to act more quickly by placing people at the heart of its strategies and its operational activities. On the eve of the 10th anniversary of the 2005 summit, and especially as we remember the sinister genocides, we must do a better job promoting the responsibility to protect. This is the initial responsibility of every state. We know that. But we also need to be able to help by building capacities and the means of states who have some problems doing it. Mr. President, prevention remains a fundamental aspect of the work of our organization. In this respect, the involvement of regional and sub-regional organizations is vital to effective implementation of the protection of populations from genocide, war crimes, and crimes against humanity. The promotion and protection of human rights must be at the heart of our policies. Prince Al-Hussein has our full confidence. From his experience, his unstinting commitment to peace and to the rule of law, he will be the High Commissioner for Human Rights that the challenges of our age demand. Another aspect should be emphasized, the delivery of humanitarian assistance in conflict areas. These must not depend on the political context. The politicization of humanitarian assistance must be a priority item to be examined during the global summit in 2016. In the light of the increasing number of crisis zones and their duration caused by conflicts as well as by natural disasters becoming more and more due to climate change, we will need to take into consideration the needs of more than 50 million people. The scope of these needs justifies new partnerships which have come about around organizations, local partners, and the private sector, as well as with individuals. Mr. President, the unprecedented threat of Ebola in West Africa tests our capacities to react effectively and in a coordinated fashion. We support the establishment by the SG of a UN emergency mission to counter the spread of this menace, which is a threat for international peace and security. In this respect, I would like to emphasize the commitment of our principality, which is effectively contributing to combat this unprecedented scourge with the WHO and the ICRC. We share in the grief of the victims and the grief of their families. We are mindful that their tragedy is exacerbated and their pain has been made intolerable by the fact that families are unable to take care of their relatives or to provide a proper burial for their loved ones. Mr. President, and so in this time of trouble, we need to establish a new paradigm for sustainable development for the post-2015. Universal, inclusive, ambitious, concrete. It must accommodate the pressures of a global population which is increasing in number and the urbanization that comes with it. It requires from us all that we adapt our methods of production, consumption, and transport, and that we opt for clean technologies. we need to define the nature of the world that we want to live in, with and for our children. As I was saying before, it is vital that the needs of the most vulnerable be duly taken into consideration, and that economic independence for women and young people be ensured. It's time to realize transformation that the Secretary General announced in breaking through the ceilings, which for too long have held them below their capabilities. Without the full contribution of those women who are 50% of mankind, sustainable development will not be achieved. 2015 will also mark the 15th anniversary of the adoption of Resolution 1325 in the Council on Women, Peace and Security. We once again call for an end to impunity for crimes related to sexual and sexist violence against women, as well as all the abuses that come from it and that they undergo. Mr. President, the undeniable success of the climate summit must not only be measured by commitments announced, but must also be measured with the broad participation of the private sector, foundations, and civil society, as well as the feeling of ownership that all expressed. The summit also has been a catalyst for all of society, so that the political momentum with it will continue in Lima and in Paris. The theme of climate change cannot be dissociated from the question of oceans, and so our government will continue to defend an objective of sustainable development having to do with healthy and productive oceans for all. Rest assured, Mr. President, that Monaco will engage in discussions which will begin this coming January and will continue both in our national policy and international policy to act as a responsible and unifying partner. Thank you very much. I thank the Minister for External Relations of Monaco.